Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside, a bi-weekly podcast where I share the stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisara Amadou, and let's dive into this week's episode. Welcome back to Disclaimers Aside. I hope you guys are doing well this week. In this week's episode, I sat down with Fatima, or CEO Fatima on Instagram, a Mauritanian content creator that moved to Texas in 2017. Deeply inspired by her mother, she became an influential creator on TikTok and on Instagram, focusing on beauty. She founded the cosmetic brand Define Beauty in an effort to make beauty more accessible, regardless of a lot of the restrictive Western beauty standards globally. In today's conversation, we delve into the formative aspects of Mauritanian culture, the story behind Define Beauty, how female entrepreneurs and creators can better support one another, and more.
My name is Fatima, just like you mentioned. I am originally from a country called Mauritania. I moved to the US 7 years ago. I've been going to school and just living my life here. So yeah, I think that's just a brief introduction about who I am.
A question I always love to ask my guests is, disclaimers aside, what is an unpopular opinion you have?
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough one because I feel like it really depends on each person, what they think is an unpopular opinion from their perspective. I've had this conversation last night with my friend, and I was just kind of introduced to a new idea that I have not had in the past, so I'm not sure if it's gonna apply to everyone, or if they are gonna think it's an unpopular opinion. But we find ourselves oftentimes given our unnecessary feedback to our close friends, thinking that that's what they need to hear, and in the process, we're really just reflecting things onto them, or like projecting our own fears or our own judgment onto them, without an actual like structure to our criticism, if that makes sense. I've heard this idea advocated a lot through a lot of different people, where they would say, yeah, like, I'm your real friend, I love you, I want to tell you the truth, and we just go on to say the most brutal things ever to our friends, and that's 99.9% of the time not needed. You just have to have an actual constructive criticism to give off to your friends if it's going to help them with their growth journey. By the end of the day, you're not here to change them, you're not here to make them a better version of themselves if they're not ready to do it themselves, if that makes sense. So I don't know, that was just a conversation I had with a friend last night, and it really changed the way I approach a lot of the conversations I'm going to be having with my friends from now on.
I really like that. I think a lot of the times we have these situations, or we'll have these friends where we just want them to change in like a specific way, or we feel like they are not living up to like a certain standard that we see that they could become or attain. And it's like, I think when we give advice, sometimes we have to remember that it's literally just advice. Like, these are just kind of our suggestions, and we can't always expect the people that are receiving the advice to necessarily take it and actualize it in their own lives. They have to come to the conclusion themselves, as you said, that that's something that they want for themselves, that they want to change in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah, it was a really tough conversation I had last night with one of my friends, because that's exactly what I was doing the whole time, is like telling her how she should be acting in a very specific way. And we had to just have that hard conversation. And just like you said, it's, you know, sometimes you just have to back up and know that you're not here to be the parent figure or to like change them. It's more like you just have to have an actual feedback to give, not just criticism to pass over.
And something I feel like learning recently is people are so different, and people want different things for their lives. What you want out of your life might not be the same thing that your friend wants out of their life. So you have to also remember that too when you're giving advice.
Absolutely. I very much agree.
Also, I think when it comes to giving people criticism and feedback, one thing, like one approach that I've been taking in my life in the past like few years, is I tend to actually not necessarily give criticism or feedback unless it's to someone who's a close friend or someone who is asking for my feedback, you have to kind of gauge in the relationships in your life, is this something that this person needs to hear? And is this something that if I give this feedback to this person, are they going to take it in the right way? Like, are they going to know that you're coming from, as you said, a place of love and wanting that person to be better, or are they going to take it personally?
Absolutely. I very much agree with you. Even though reflecting on some of my personal friendships that have been going on for years, and I genuinely know where the intention is coming from and like where they're taking this conversation, I think also, just like you said, sometimes it's not a matter of like this person wanting to hear what you have to say. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'm gonna give you a quick example. I know me and my cousin, we've been friends ever since like we were born, basically, so our whole entire life. And I remember something that she recently implemented into our communication. It's like whenever I'm coming to her with like an issue that's going on with my life or something I'm struggling with, she always asks me, do you want to hear the truth, or do you want to hear what you want me, like what you want to hear, basically, like do you want me to say to you like what you want to hear, or do you want to hear the truth? Because I think that's also something to take in consideration. A lot of the times we find ourselves going to our friends looking for just a safe space, just a space where like we feel validated and like just talked out of our own head at that exact moment. And then later on, when we're in a clearer space and like a better place mentally, we're ready to take in actually the actual truth. So when I had that conversation with her and she started kind of implementing these questions, I just found it to be a lot healthier and better for the both of us when we're communicating in these situations where we take our problems to each other.
I actually really like that approach, because I feel like while yes, I really love to have people around me in my life that will keep it 100, like if I'm doing something wrong, or I like being around people that are going to tell me the truth and be honest and real with me. But I do think there are certain situations, maybe if you're hurting from a specific situation or you're struggling with something, where you just want sympathy, you want empathy, you want someone to validate your feelings. And so I really like that approach, because I feel like it makes room for both of those different sides.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
So you were born and raised in Mauritania. Can you talk about what that was like, and what were some of the formative aspects of Mauritanian culture that have shaped who you are today?
I was born in, I guess like my close family, we were not as many, but like my family, mom's side, we're a big family, basically, mashallah. I guess like growing up, I've always had a lot of friends. I've never lacked that, just because I was friends with all my cousins. And I've had a really, really fun and entertaining childhood throughout. I am my mom's only daughter, so that also kind of shaped a lot of my personality nowadays. And people think that I'm like the spoiled brat in the family, though I'm anything but a spoiled brat, because she made sure I never felt that way. But it was just also very special, because I got to grow up very close to my mother. Back home, the culture is very unique. It's very beautiful. You know, you just grow up around women who want to look pretty, who want to enjoy their life. There isn't a lot about life that just stresses them out. And I think that's so beautiful, especially moving here to America. I realized how important it is sometimes to just relax. Like, it's not that deep. Life is not that crazy, you know? At least that's how I felt, like, my whole childhood, seeing a lot of the women around me. They were just very relaxed, going about their day. There's a saying that we say in Hassaniya, لَبَجَّتْ قَزَّتْ, meaning that, like, whatever, it is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. So I think that really kind of impacted my personality growing up a lot, because I don't take things as serious as personal sometimes as I should be if I were like raised in a Western world. Everything I have to say about my childhood, that it was just really fun and full of family and full of meaningful time, spending a lot of time around my mom's friends, because I just spent pretty much 90% of my time with my mother, and getting to really like be introduced to all these like grown-up mindsets and mentality and like you know, discussions and storytelling and all of these things as a young kid, I feel very privileged in that sense because it really made me grow up so much faster than a lot of people around me. And I even remember my mom used to like send me to banks to take care of her business, like when I was 14 years old and they thought I was in the uni, and I always lied and said, yeah, yeah, I'm totally in the university. And I was barely through middle school. So yeah, I think my relationship with my mother and the relationship I had with my mom's side of the family has definitely like impacted my growth a lot in a positive way, obviously. And it just really made me also realize and be extremely grateful for the things that we have back home, how unique our culture is. How interesting it is, because I think especially when you move to the Western world, a lot of the times you're made to believe that your culture doesn't matter as much, or like it just doesn't matter because it's not part of America. But then as I grow up more and as I get more into like the business side of things, and even in STEM and in all of these like different fields that I'm trying to seek, I guess if that's the right word, I just find that my culture always make me stand out. I always have a different approach to life, a different approach to business, a different approach to problem solving or like multitasking or whatever the case might be. The Mauritanian culture has definitely built a strong, the strong woman in me has definitely been a result of that culture.
I think that's such a special quality about Mauritanian culture, is the community that you're surrounded with at a young age. It's like, even if you're an only child, you're constantly surrounded by your cousins and your family friends, and there are multiple families, you know, living in one household, and so you're constantly surrounded by people. That is so crucial to someone's development, because as you mentioned, it's like you're not just learning from your parents, but you're also learning from the older people in your life, your older cousins, your older family friends, your older aunts and uncles. You're learning from their stories and their wisdom. It's, I think, very important, very foundational. I think also another special quality that you mentioned about Mauritanian culture is just the nonchalant mood of Mauritanian culture. Like, Mauritanians are just, they enjoy life, they're easygoing, they're not stressed out. It's rare to see someone in Mauritania that's just not happy, because everyone's just so full of joy and full of happiness and generally just content all around. And I think it's such a stark contrast a lot of the times to countries like, or societies like American society, where there's this constant drive to hustle, which is a good thing, but also a negative aspect that comes with it is there's this constant desire to do and achieve X, Y, and Z to make yourself happy. And there's just this feeling of, especially in the youth, like depression almost, and just this feeling of unhappiness, like a feeling of it's never going to be enough. You're never going to be happy enough. You're constantly going to be striving for the next thing to make you happy. And I think too that when people immigrate into the West, especially in American society where assimilation is such a huge thing, this idea that you need to come to the US and become an American and your culture doesn't really matter anymore that you're in the US. No matter where you immigrate to, I think you will always, that your cultural background will have such a foundational part of your identity, even if you're someone who's first generation who wasn't necessarily born in the culture that you're a part of. It affects the way that you see the world. It affects your worth ethic. It affects your values. And I think that's an important thing, as you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, I might sound very biased saying this, but like, it is the truth. I have met both. I have met Mauritanians who were born back home, and I have met Mauritanians who were born in countries like America and different parts of the world too. And I always say, like, the Mauritanian culture has such long strings. Like, it really extends through generations and generations. It's so rich to that level, if that makes sense. I've also had conversations with people that are extremely confused about their identity as, like, you know, Mauritanians and as, like, people of that land and whatnot, and like how they can go from like living 100% say American lifestyle to like having to fit in a culture, just like you said, that has almost no similarities to the Western world and the hustle mindset and the constant thrive for something. Mauritanians, 90% of the time, just like we were mentioning right now, they're enjoying life. They're really just living every day as it goes. And it is a struggle. I can totally see like why some younger generation will struggle with like finding their identity within both cultures. But yeah, I think also it is one of those cultures that is so rich that really extends through generations and generations, and you will always find a way to fit in into it in a way or another.
I think even when you look at the immigration history, at least in the American context, from coming from Mauritania, the Mauritanian diaspora in the US has not been here as long as some other diasporic communities. Like if you're looking at, for example, Nigerians, I think Nigerians have been here for a few more generations. If you're looking at Chinese immigrants, they've been here for generations and generations. But I think the Mauritanian immigration is a little bit more recent and has only been here for, I want to say, like one or two generations, maybe three. What's really nice about that, at least in terms of the culture here, is you feel the effects of how rich the culture is even here, especially if you go to places like Cincinnati, where there's a huge population of Mauritanians. Like, they bring the culture over here. They bring Mauritanian dress, they bring Mauritanian food, they bring the language. Everything is here, and it's so beautiful to see.
Yeah, and they just make people fall in love with the culture without even knowing the country, and that's something that I actually find so much pride in, and it just makes me really proud. Even yesterday, as I was doing my makeup, I got a call from one of my very close friends, and I have gifted her this melihfa from years ago. And she was asking me, how do I wear this again? And it was just the cutest thing, as we were like enjoying our time on the FaceTime while showing her how to dress and wear melihfa. So yeah, it's just such a rich culture in every single aspect. Even when I started my brand, Define Beauty, it was initially also the idea of beauty standards, everything. Like, it was very much drawn from my background and my culture and the way I moved into, let's say, two different sides of the spectrum. I lived in both sides of the world and just saw it in an extremely different way. I agree with you. It's a very rich culture, and it definitely is extremely beautiful too.
So you moved to the US in 2017 and went straight into high school. Can you share what that was like and how you kind of navigated integrating in such a different culture?
It's just a funny question, because I remember watching all the American movies back home, which, by the way, I did not understand anything. I was just watching the pictures, that's all. And I always used to see high schoolers getting beaten and thrown in like the little lockers and just like the most horrible thing ever. So I definitely came in with this huge mentality of like, you know, I'm gonna have to fight for my life because this is going to be tough. Especially coming to Texas, straight from Mauritania to Texas was a big jump, and I was really, really nervous as a Muslim scarved woman. But I was surprised. I was surprised with the level of love and appreciation I have received from just the state of Texas in general. But even when I went to high school, I would say didn't really face any struggle as far as like at least the bullying side of things. And even if I did, thankfully, I did not know English enough to understand what they were saying, so I didn't still consider it any bullying or anything like that. But it was very much a struggle for me, especially moving into a country where I did not speak English at all. I still struggle until this day, but a lot better. It was just a complete different environment, having to go from like French and Arabic system to a 100% American system where like English is the only language spoken. I was lucky enough to be basically connected with these two girls who spoke French. So at least we had a lot of lectures together, or a lot of classes together. So like I would sit next to them, and whenever I get stuck, which is basically 99% of the time, they would try to explain it to me in French. So that was kind of my biggest struggle at the time. As far as cultural shock, I think I was surprised that people were able to wear makeup in high school, because that was a no-no. That was a red line in schools back home. We were not allowed to put any kind of makeup in school. I was also surprised that like people dated publicly in schools, and that was kind of like a cultural shock to me as well, especially like moving from like an all-girls school to like, you know, boys and girls school here in America. So a lot of things of that nature were kind of like just shocking to me, just because I lived in an extremely different culture. But I would say I'm really grateful for that experience, because had I not started really early on and went to high school here, I would have had it a lot more tougher in the uni. So it wasn't a negative experience overall.
It is really challenging coming from Mauritania, just because the education system, as you mentioned, is Arabic or French primarily. It's not like English is like wholly integrated into the education system. I think they're starting a little bit more to teach English in schools more. It's definitely not as much as some other African countries. Like I know Nigeria, English is like their secondary language, akin to like how French is for us. So that must have been really challenging, but mashallah, your English is amazing.
Thank you, girl. Like, that's literally the biggest compliment somebody can give me today, because you best believe I worked my back off for this. Like, it was really tough, not gonna lie. And one thing also I wanted to mention that I just remembered that was kind of shocking to me as well in high school, it's the level here. Like, the level of education. I remember,
was it
like...
easy?
It was so much easier. Came here, I was like a junior in high school, and we were doing algebra, like solving equations, and like it was something that I've done in middle school back home. Mind you, I was never good at math. And this is something also I want to draw everyone's attention to. A lot of people might hate what I'm going to say, but I really, really, really prefer the American system over the system I had back home. Not because it's the system back home is bad, not at all. Like, I think especially for smart kids, that's what they deserve to do, because it'll save them so much time from taking these classes in the uni. And I know like here we have AP classes and IB classes, I believe, or things of that nature. So like I know that there are higher level of classes, but like here, if I did not go to high school and started with that algebra class, girl, there was no way I'm going to make it through Calc 2. Like, I started really slow and understood the bases that I did not understand back home, because it was just moving so fast. There was no time that they could wait for the student to actually absorb it. You're either a smartass or you're going to figure it out. Like, you're not going to expect them to wait for you to get it, for them to move on. And I think that's something that I did not experience in America. Like, they would not leave you alone until you freaking understand something. I mean, once you get to the uni, that's a different story, but like at least in high school, that's how it was. And it genuinely helped me, because there was no way I was gonna go to STEM. Even coming to America, I was like, if I go to school, girl, if I get a business degree, you guys better be grateful for that, because I don't think education is for me. And I came here and I started like getting hundreds in math and like doing really good in STEM. My mom generally thought I was cheating. Like, she couldn't believe it. She was like, I bet you were just like cheating or something. This is not you. So yeah, I wanted to draw attention on the fact that like definitely the systems were quite different, but I had a very positive experience with it.
I never thought about that aspect of things. I've always heard that the Mauritanian education system just doesn't have the most support for students and really needs a lot of reformation. And I've always heard too, just people of so many different backgrounds, that the American education system is so behind, and that there's obviously that stereotype that Americans are dumb, but like our levels of like math and science especially are very much behind compared to the rest of the world. I think part of it is because the US recently kind of shifted towards this like perspective of trying to, instead of just trying to help the few excel, trying to help a majority of students really understand and pass, understand the material. So I guess that is definitely really nice, because it gives a lot more support, especially for people that it takes them a little bit longer to grasp concepts.
Definitely. And I think there is always a fine line that both systems can honestly walk on. It's not that it has to be one way over the other. And just like you said, I think even the advanced levels, like classes, you could really try hard, but like a lot of the time you fall out of love with like a specific subject that you could read, like you have a great potential in getting, just because you think you're not good enough. You think like basically your grades determine how well you're doing in this class, or like how good or how much potential you have. So I personally genuinely believe that like by going a little slower with students, it certainly doesn't hurt. If it doesn't make it better, it does not hurt, because the smart ones can always take the higher class levels.
No, that's a good point. So you mentioned it before, you're the founder of the cosmetic brand Define Beauty. I'm really excited to just kind of hear about the story behind starting Define Beauty.
I founded Define Beauty when I was 21 years old. I have always been so inspired by Huda Beauty. She's the founder and the CEO of Huda Beauty. Just kind of always wanted to start my own company, but you know, going to school and kind of seeking this really tough degree and like all these like thoughts or the imposter syndrome coming in, and you're like, oh, maybe later, maybe later. In 2021, it was finally the year where I just decided, you know what, screw this, I'm just gonna go 100%. I'm gonna like try my best, see where this takes me. I picked up two jobs while going to school and just started the company. So it's called Define Beauty. The main reason and the mission of Define Beauty is basically to just help every female or every individual redefine beauty on their own terms. Going from Mauritania to the US, it was a huge jump and a huge cultural shock, because I remember growing up in Mauritania, there were very specific beauty standards. They really prefer basically, let's say, thicker and lighter skin women. And that was just kind of the beauty standard. So I saw a lot of women undergo very unhealthy diets just to gain weight, and also use what we would call carcinogenic chemicals just to get lighter skin. And this is obviously doesn't apply to every single person in the country, but that's just the general view of like what beauty looks like. And I remember coming here to America thinking to myself, I bet in America there wouldn't be no such thing. Like, there is no beauty standards. To my surprise, they were even worse. Women would basically starve themselves or work out themselves so much harder and like go so much harder on themselves just so they can look beautiful in the eye of the society. Like, who sat down on a Saturday night doing nothing with their life and just sat there and said, these are the beauty standards and this is how it should be? So I just decided to create a brand where our main mission is to really like get into the little gaps in the colored cosmetics industry and just create more inclusivity. Regardless of what that inclusivity is going to look like, we just want to make every woman celebrate her own beauty in her very unique way without feeling like she has to conform in like certain beauty standards or certain just standards in general for them to be considered beautiful. The first product we decided to launch was lashes, and the main reason why I made that decision was because I worked at Sephora for like approximately 2 years, and I've done makeup for a tremendous amount of females, and I'm actually very proud of that. And it was just the most amazing time of my life, honestly. I got to enjoy a lot of deep conversations with so many beautiful females. And I realized that so many brands will lose on extremely successful sales when it comes to lashes, just because they lack range and they lack inclusivity. It's always black, it's always in specific shapes, it's always presented to just to one part of the makeup community. It's always seen and kind of like portrayed as this thing that only the makeup artistry level of people can basically do. This, like, it's not for everyone, and this is something that goes against everything I believe in personally, especially when it comes to makeup. It's an art just like any other art. You get to enjoy it, you get to do it in your very unique way. There's no one way of doing things. You can't come to an artist and tell them this is not how you paint, you should do it this way. There's always recommendations, but everyone does it in their own unique way. And so is lashes. And I just wanted to create a fun, engaging line where like we have a range of colors ginger, blonde, brown, mixed between blonde, mixed between black and brown, just to give it more life and just to make people feel more comfortable going into this section of beauty, because it's truly for everyone. If that's what you want to do and play with, like, go for it. The color should not be the only thing holding you back because the industry just decided that that's the only relevant color.
I love the story behind Define Beauty. I think it's absolutely incredible. And I think what you said about kind of the beauty standards in Mauritania versus the beauty standards in America, I think was really interesting. I think a lot of the times when we look at makeup, sometimes we have to reframe the way that we view makeup and beauty. Because I think sometimes we can fall into this trap of like perceiving makeup as something to cover our imperfections or like change the way that we look. But I think what really is so beautiful about makeup is when we use makeup to accentuate our features, to embrace our features, to really, as you mentioned, like fill in those gaps in the beauty standards. And I think once you kind of change that framework, that kind of changes your relationship with beauty.
Beauty is everywhere. Beauty is in everything. There's no one way of beauty. And there's no two sets of eyes that are gonna probably agree that the same thing is beautiful. Everyone perceives beauty in their own unique way. I guess what I'm trying to really create through Define Beauty and the community I'm trying to build is just to get rid of this crazy standards towards beauty, because there should not be at the end of the day. God created us the way he created us, and we're just perfect the way we are, and making peace with that is just the best way to just celebrate our creation and celebrate ourselves and celebrate who we are.
Also, Define Beauty is really coming at a perfect time, just because at least something that I've noticed, at least in the beauty community and in makeup trends on social media, is there's kind of been this shift in makeup with like trends like the clean girl makeup trend and all of that, where people are really just embracing beauty as something, as I mentioned before, that is really just accentuating your features, that is customizable to you, that looks different. Like, there are different makeup trends simultaneously happening at the same time, and no one specific makeup trend is necessarily going to be a fit for everyone. So I really love kind of the initiative that Define Beauty is really aiming for and making beauty more accessible. One thing I've never personally thought about is like the fact that usually when you buy lash extensions, they literally come in one color. So I think it's incredible that you're really trying to expand beauty and make it more accessible.
And yeah, I love what you mentioned too about a lot of the trends that are going on. And I definitely see that the beauty community has been making sure to express these ongoing issues with the beauty industry and these unreachable standards that have been set by a lot of different people, and mainly actually males. I'm just so glad to see that a lot of people are coming out of their nutshell and like saying, hey, like, this is not what it is, you know, this is not what beauty is, and like showing a more realistic view of like what beauty is and like the struggles and all the aspects of it. And that just makes me really happy too, and makes me even more excited about our mission.
So Mauritania is definitely a conservative and traditional culture. How has your work been received by the Mauritanian community?
I would say it was for the most part received with a lot of love. We all know that the beginnings are always a lot harder. I remember when I first started creating content, and I want to actually go into a little interval here and like really, really take the time to thank my mother from the deepest level of my heart, because she's really the reason why I was able to do this in the first place. Surprisingly, actually, a lot of people think I've always had the gut to put myself out there, though I'm not an introvert by nature. I'm very much a social butterfly and an extrovert. I was really scared of taking this step because, just like you mentioned, I knew how conservative my community is, and especially my family's, both dad and mom side. And my mother has been like with me through this whole journey of starting Define Beauty, and once I established the company and I had my products going into production, everything, she was like, okay, now what's the next step? And this was something that we've discussed kind of on multiple occasions, of like me starting a social media platform and like maybe putting myself out there, because as like the brand grows, like people would want to know who's behind the brand, and chances are that it would, I guess, be more beneficial for me to go kind of first and like introduce myself and get and start building a community where I can launch my product. The idea was scaring me so much. Like, I was extremely nervous and just so scared of putting myself out there, because all the what ifs, what if this happens, what if this goes down. And I remember her just saying, you know what, do it. I know, I have full faith in you. I know you're going to succeed in it, and I'm telling you right now, just do it. And I think until this day, if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't have probably got to where I am in any aspect in my life, whether it's in school, whether it's in business, whatever the case might be. But when I first launched, it was a big shock to everyone, especially my family's, because what the hell is she doing? What the hell is she, does she think she is doing right now, going public and like posting herself and like doing makeup? And you know, like, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but like, especially in my culture or like in my country, being like a makeup content creator has a really deep negative connotation attached to it. So a lot of the times people would think if you're starting this path, that means you're not doing much with your life anymore. So I went from being like, you know, pre-med student going to medical school to like this girl on social media doing makeup. Like, there were a lot of question marks. Did she quit her school? And there were a lot of rumors, like, she is no longer in school. She basically, her life is falling apart and she's just trying to like make something out of herself. And nobody knew at the time that I was coming out with this, with my brand, and I have not told anybody either. Only my mom and my cousin knew at the time. So it was really challenging to keep my brand secret until I have my products out and not like go into that, you know, fight or flight mode, like, who the hell are you talking about? Like, I am in school, I am doing this, I'm a girl boss, I'm doing this, doing that, you know, like trying to prove everyone wrong and just like having to like stay in my lane and not go into all these arguments and like just show, let success basically, or let my success speak louder than my words. It was definitely a struggle at first. But then as people started seeing where this is going and started understanding me better and like understand what my goal is behind this whole platform, this whole social media journey, I have never received as much love and as much appreciation and as much support as I have been receiving from my own community. I feel blessed every single day going on social media and reading people's comments and like, you know, just they're very sweet, encouraging, and just very unique messages, especially when it comes to your own culture. That's when you know you have been making an impact, or like people have been seeing the hard work you're putting into your work and your growth and everything. So it was definitely challenging at first, but I couldn't ask for a better reward after a year and a half of doing this.
Alhamdulillah. I'm happy that you had your mom's support like from day one, because I think putting yourself out there on the internet like that, like, it's hard. It's you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position, and you're vulnerable not only to strangers on the internet, but also your family and people in your community. It's really hard when you're trying to do things or create things, when you're constantly stressed and worried about like what people are gonna say and what people are gonna think. And I think that's why it's really important when you have an idea for a project or a business to just have that period of time where you really just keep it to yourself and the people in your close circle, because you're less susceptible to really falling into this like cycle of constantly being stressed and worried about like how people are gonna perceive what you're doing. You can really focus on creating something that's authentic to the vision that you have. A lot of the times when people do things for the first time, it's hard for people to really understand it. Like, as you mentioned, there is a huge stigma in terms of being on social media and being a makeup artist in the Mauritanian community and Mauritanian culture, people have this perception that you, as you mentioned, that you don't really have anything going on in your life and that you're abandoning your career ambitions. I think it's becoming a newer thing for people to have this like career that they want, this long-term career that they want to strive for, but then also have, you know, this entrepreneurial thing on the side going on that really fulfills them creatively and fulfills a lot of their passions. And that doesn't have to take away from your long-term career goals. But I think the more and more people like you really do this and really show up on the internet and share their story and just provide such an inspiring example for other people, the more it becomes normalized and a larger thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And anything in this life actually just starts with a person. Like, I remember I have this friend who is a lot older than me, but I love befriending women who are generations older than me. And I remember her saying one thing, like we were having a conversation or something, and she's like, yeah, I did not have to burn a bra. That kind of stunned me. I was like, what? Like, what is that? And she was like just talking to me about like, I think it was in the 60s or something where a woman had to burn their bras for like some sort of like woman rights thingy. I always like to say this example because it is the truth. Like, there is always going to be a person who is going to have to basically break those boundaries for the sake of the community going forward. And I'm not saying that that person is me. I mean, collectively there are a lot of amazing women like yourself and like a lot of other females who are doing the same, where they're showing people, hey, like I can have a social media presence. I can be the girl who shows up every day on Snapchat. I can be the girl who shows up every day on Instagram. But if you look into my life, I am the most hardworking woman you can meet. At the time where like people were mentioning like, or basically commenting on my post, oh, look at her, she's doing nothing with her life. I was taking 18 credits at the uni, going two jobs, working 7 days out of the week, no break, going to sleep at 8 p.m., waking up at 5 a.m. and starting my day. So like, I was doing the most. When people don't see the full picture, they will never grasp how hard you're working for your ambitions. When people are like claiming that you have no ambition or no goal in your life, or you're just wasting your time, you're trying to build an empire that nobody knows anything about. I agree with you. There are always like these mixed things that go on the internet, and like you just have to basically deal with all the, sorry for the word, but stupidity that you get yourself exposed to every single day, while you know so deep down that you have so much to bring to the table and you're working so hard.
100%, yeah. And I think that's why sometimes you almost have to detach yourself from the criticism that you see, like the comments, the negative comments you see on social media, and just know and have faith in the fact that you're doing your best. You're showing up every single day for the work that you have going on in your life. And so one thing that I'm kind of curious about is, we've kind of talked a lot about female entrepreneurship, and I'm just wondering, like, how do you think that female entrepreneurs, content creators, and creatives can kind of do a better job at supporting one another and showing up for one another?
Number one, be very open. Be very open to, and be very raw to share your own experience, your own journey. And gatekeeping is not something that we have to do around this like hood, because that's just not what we're gonna do. Entrepreneurship on its own is such a hard journey. And speaking like from experience, like having to go from like no knowledge in business to like starting a business and having to figure my way out, I think what helped me the most is just meeting like-minded women who were ready. And when I say ready, and I'm so grateful for these opportunities, like they were ready to drop everything in their hand to dedicate 30 to 1 hour of their day to just talk to me and walk me through a process that I'm struggling with, or like something that I'm just confused about. So something I definitely have noticed, and especially the creator world, did not notice as much of it in entrepreneurship, just because I know a lot of entrepreneurs get it. Like, they've been through this process and it's hard, it's challenging, and they're willing to help. But creators specifically, I have realized that like a lot of people get really surprised when you're being nice to them. There's just this weird thing like that when you have a huge following or like a big platform or whatever, you're just expected to be mean to people or like be less nice. And I think this is something that if we change in this creator space, that will really, really help a lot of female, push female forward, help one another move to the best next thing, and just be there for one another. Like if we're just more open to collaborating and to see each other win, and not to have this mentality of like, I have to keep this thing that I have away from others so they don't get caught up. It's not that deep. It literally is not that deep. You keeping something from someone that could help them succeed is not going to make them not succeed. It's just, it might delay their process a little bit, but if they're meant, God has meant for them to succeed, they will, regardless of what effort you put in or you take out. So I think one thing that we need to just focus on in this creator space is be there for one another, support each other, be willing to go out of our way to help one another, because it's a two-way street and it's a full circle back. So whatever you put in this world is going to come back to you. And just like I mentioned earlier, me being the Gen Z I am, it's not that deep. It really is not.
I completely agree. I think it's so important for creatives and entrepreneurs and creators to understand that that someone else's success is not going to take away from your own success, you know? And I think it's so important to not gatekeep. That's one of the things that I just cannot stand, is when I see people gatekeeping. I understand if you put in work to create something, that you want your flowers, that you want it to be recognized. But at the same time, it's like when it comes to resources, upholding these barriers to specific resources, like specific platforms to use, or advice on how to grow on a specific platform. It's like we need to do a better job at supporting one another and helping one another grow. I think that's really what does foster a community at the end of the day. And I think there was this period of time, I feel like, on the internet, like early YouTube days, where I think people were so much more open to collaborating, and there was this larger sense of collaboration among creatives. And then we got to this period where people started kind of just collaborating or reaching out or creating these connections with creatives on kind of more of a transactional basis. And now we're kind of in this space where I feel like collaboration is not as huge of a thing as it was back in the day. But I would really love to see social media kind of shift back to this era in this space where people just genuinely want to collaborate with one another, to connect with one another, to help one another out, to foster connections, and to honestly grow. That's how we're going to all grow as a collective community.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I've encountered some conversations where, like, when a person, like a content creator, reaches out to me, and like I respond back with respect and love and excitement, it almost feels like she gets a little less excited. Like she thinks that if this is like, it's this weird feeling of like it just not being a normal thing for you to be open and excited for others to grow and like be just a normal human being without like acting like, oh, I'm the famous person, I don't want you talking to me. No, like, who wants that? And you would be surprised of the amount of people that will contribute to your growth just because you were open to having like a simple conversation with them, just like you mentioned. In many aspects, this could be a simple conversation, this could be a very professional one too. So yeah, it's just, if only we just start being a little more humble and understand that, like, just like God has given us this very special thing, he can take it away in a second, and like understand that, like, at the end of the day, if you don't bring people together and like help people out through love and kindness, not like, you might succeed, but it's not gonna last forever. And I personally don't think that there is any success if you're not helping others succeed too.
I think it comes from a place of ego. It's like, if you don't have humility and you don't understand that everything that you have going on in your life, yes, you worked for that, but also that's something that God gave you. And it's really, you really have to reframe your mindset and understand that if you're not showing up for other people, who's going to show up for you? Who or what is currently inspiring you right now?
That's a good question. Because I think with everything going on in the world, especially right now, there are not that many people that are inspiring me anymore. I used to hold people at such high standard in my life and look up to them a lot. And with just this whole thing that's going on in the world, including the war in Gaza, including other things that are coming out in this world, it just really shows you how human we are at the end of the day. And I think, like, with this whole experience, it has brought me back to my sense and made me focus on looking up to God only. Like, that's the only source that I look up to, in his words, in his people, in what he says to do and what not to do. It just loosened every string I've had attached to a person that I used to think of them as this high person, or like the people that I positioned very highly in my life. My mother obviously continued to be my biggest inspiration, and nothing would ever inspire me as much as she does. Huda Beauty keeps to be an inspiration, if we were just to put it, like, if we were just to categorize it in a sense. But at the end of the day, I still keep, I guess, like, I learned just to start seeing people as humans too. Like, nobody is perfect. We're all flawed, including myself. And yeah, I think as far as like being inspired by others or looking up to others, that just have really, really changed recently. And I just no longer look at it from the same perspective anymore.
I think that's a really important reminder. And thank you so much. I really love today's conversation. Where can the listeners find you on social media? Shout out all your social media platforms, as well as your website for Define Beauty, and we'll have these linked in the show notes to access.
Across all platforms, I have Snapchat, TikTok, and Instagram, and it's going to be CEO_Fatima. You can follow Define Beauty website, the Instagram, through my Instagram handle for now, just because we're still working on the website. We have not finalized it just yet, but if there's any updates, we'll be posting them there. Any support will be much appreciated. And yeah, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I had so much fun with you today.
I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I will have all of Fatima's social media handles linked in the show notes. Fatima also just recently launched her podcast titled The Female CEO, and the first episode is live. So I'll have that linked as well in the show notes. I will chat with you guys in my next episode. Bye.